My talk is about demonstrating the utility of injury narratives when doing work-related injury surveillance enough to inform prevention in rural but rapidly developing communes in Vietnam. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Zip and Bin from the National Institute for Occupational and Environmental Health in Vietnam, and Joanna Willits, who I work with. I have no relationships to disclose. Joanna and I work for the Liberty Mutual Research Institute for Safety, which I'm sure many of you are unfamiliar with. But Liberty Mutual does have a research institute that's dedicated to the mission of doing research in workplace and highway safety and work disability. And we publish all our research in open peer-reviewed press. Joanna and I work for the Center for Injury Epidemiology. And before I begin, I also want to acknowledge the people who were involved in the larger study that this data come from. We did an active surveillance study in the Suong Chinh commune of Vietnam, and it involved the collaboration of three institutions and many people who were involved with the development of the instruments and the collection of the data. So why did we choose to do a project on work-related injuries in Vietnam? As you know, Vietnam is one of the fastest growing of the emerging economies, and with economic development, injuries have grown to be a leading cause of mortality reported by hospitals in Vietnam. However, there is no real local or national injury registration system in Vietnam, and also there is nothing related to what the burden of work is on the total injury burden in Vietnam. So what I would like to point out, and what forms the basis of what I am presenting here, is that while surveillance findings of high-risk groups from closed-ending questions on reporting and hospitalized logs will help immensely the nation and the commune leaders understand about the burden of work-related injuries, which is critical to Vietnam, so they need to do this, okay? And it's important as a first step. The broad-level findings will likely not be able to help the many small business owners in the rural areas. These business owners employ 10 or less employees, which are usually their family members. They don't see enough injuries in their own workplace to know where or how to best use resources for prevention. They need aggregate and detailed information on workplaces just like theirs to make informed decisions. So we developed and administered a household survey in 2005 on the work and demographics in the Suong Chinh commune and also self-reported injury. I think this picture tells a lot of the story of why we were successful. The people from the commune, the health volunteers from the commune, actually were the ones who administered the survey in the commune. And in less than 8 months, they had over a 99% response rate on our questionnaire. The household survey was designed mainly as a census of the community. We were trying to get at the demographic and work composition of this community. We asked very specific information about what people were doing for work, and we asked the households to report if they had a family-owned business. We asked each person in the household to report on all jobs they had in the last year, what types of jobs these were, how many hours per day, days per week, and months per year they worked in the jobs. We also asked people to self-report injuries in the last year. We asked using this question, was the household member hurt in the past year enough to need care or to disrupt his or her other normal activities for at least 1 day or longer? We used the word hurt, the English word, the Vietnamese translation of the English word hurt in this question because we found from our research collaborators that this better embodied the range of conditions that we were interested in and which were equivalent to what you would ask if someone were injured in the U.S. We assessed work-relatedness using these two direct questions. Was he or she who was injured working at the time he was working, what the time he was hurt, or was he commuting to or home from work? So, now, pictorially, I'm going to show you what we found out about the commune in terms of work. There were over 800 small family-owned businesses in this community. 15% of those businesses worked in mechanical manufacturing plants just like this. 25% of the jobs were in these types of companies, and as you can see, there are a lot of hazards in the companies, and people aren't using personal protective equipment and often are working on the ground. The main product that they produced in these factories was rice threshing machines and cement mixers. They actually exported from this small commune these rice threshing machines to China. Actually, in comparison to what was shown earlier, this was the largest company in the commune. It employed 200 employees, and it was a garment manufacturer. And it was they worked for a subcontractor of Old Navy. Craft work is still very prominent throughout Vietnam and was in this commune. People made bamboo fans and baskets and also wood statues and furniture. There were also 20 foundries in this commune where people were set up in their backyards to make brass bells or other fixtures for Catholic churches. Now, while this commune was becoming very industrial, the people very much still revolved around, the culture very much still revolved around the growing and harvesting of rice. And it was almost completely manual still, from the plowing of the fields to the planting in two phases where they planted seeds in their backyard and the seedlings then they ended up planting again in the fields. And at the time of the harvest, everyone, or not everyone, but many people would come out and close their factories and help with this. It was a big community event which lasted a couple of weeks. So that was pictorial. Now we can look at the numbers and see there were 5,485 workers in this commune, and they held 8,479 jobs and accumulated about 12 million hours of over a one-year period. If we divide the 12 million hours by 2,000 work hours, average work hours per one full-time employee, we see that there's 5,780 full-time employee equivalents in 1 year. And basically the significance of the slide is to show that while many of the jobs were in agriculture, most jobs were worked part-time in ag. Much of the work was being done in manufacturing, so the most full-time employee equivalents was in manufacturing and most cumulative work hours. And basically, from our general surveillance study, what we found was that 1,562 people reported being injured in the working age group in this community in a one-year period. And of those, 1,169 were reported as work-related injuries, which is 77%, which was an important finding for the study because nobody else had ever done a study in Vietnam which focused on work-related injuries. We found that the incidence rate then was 200 per 1,000 full-time employee equivalents, and that manufacturing development in this commune had indeed raised the risk of injury, and this industry was not only the highest count, but the highest rate. We also found that there were, of course, that males had a much higher rate of injury than females and were at very high risk in manufacturing and agriculture. So basically, what I'm trying to say here is these are the basic surveillance findings that we found from our study, and there were many more, and we've published on those. But we would go into the community and report our results several times, and we would come in and say, okay, so look at, we have high rates of injuries in manufacturing. We'd show these results, and we'd show it to not only the community leaders who were the party leaders in the commune, the health leaders in the commune, but also the business owners. And what they would say to us, they would get up and they would speak. The prominent business owners of the community would say, thank you. They would thank us and say, thank you. We have a problem in our commune. We have a problem. We have a lot of injuries. But can you please tell us what we should do about them? And we didn't have the information from these broad level surveillance findings. So that's where I'm trying to get into the utility of the injury narrative. So we also asked people what were they doing when they were hurt, to describe in detail what happened. And we were able to classify those narratives into E-code, event leading to injury, categories, the source of the injury, and the activity, which we created our own classification system tailored specifically to this type of work. And now what we were able to find is that these males were at high risk of injury, were becoming injured by using operator power tools and machinery. We could also point to the exact machinery that they were using when they were hurt. And we also found they were hurt a lot by doing material object handling, specifically carrying heavy materials. We could look at the event and source within these large activity groups, so we could find out, and we saw several intervention themes evolve. We saw that the males who were using the power machinery were often called, the machine caused the injury, or the thing spitting out of the machine caused the injury, okay? We also found another pattern come up, and this came up for females as well as males, that we found that people were often carrying around these hot, heavy metal corrugated sheets and slicing their hands on them. And again, we found that from the carrying materials and or objects, people were hurt, had overexertion injuries. So what we're trying to say is that we did have some messages then in the end to give to the business owners that while that many injuries were happening when people were operating machinery, and the machinery itself was the source of the injury. So a good protection against that would be to put in some machine guards on those specific machineries causing the most injuries. We also found things spitting out of the machinery, and often they hit the people's eyes, and there were foreign body injuries. Safety glasses would be a good intervention for that. And again, now while handling the corrugated iron sheets, people were cut. Why not have some gloves for those people doing that specific activities? And we also found that people using knives and bamboo fan manufacturer were hurt, similarly getting cut on their hands. Again, interesting also what we were able to find out was that most of these overexertion injuries to the males were from people who actually were working in industry full-time and came out into the fields part-time in addition to their primary job, and that what they would state is that they got hurt from working too hard. And so this was a pattern we only saw in these people working part-time in the fields, and so we would suggest that some protections were made for those people. So in summary, I guess what I'm trying to say is that there are hundreds of thousands of workplaces in rural Vietnam, rapidly developing communities of rural Vietnam, that employ less than 10 employees. There's no way for those business owners to realize by themselves from their own injury experience how best to implement interventions in their workplace. And there are so many hazards that they can't possibly remedy everything in their factories. So this type of information, systematic detailed classifications of work type and injury narratives, may help directly target prevention opportunities for these small businesses. And the best approach going forward would be to couple findings from surveillance such as these with active participatory training programs actually developed in Vietnam that are the Wind and Wise programs to arrive at cost-effective intervention solutions. There were limitations to this study. We did ask for people to self-report their injuries over a one-year period. We know that will have recall bias, likely an undercount of injuries. But we wanted to make sure that we incorporated all seasons into the estimate, seasonal injuries. And Also, we did not incorporate into our analysis severity, which we should. We should be telling these employers where the most severe injuries are occurring. Of course, as previous speakers talked about, there's an issue with translation and interpretation biases. We had this one statement, working too hard, as an activity of people working in the fields, and really we didn't know what that meant. And there were many, I'm sure, instances of where we translated from Vietnamese into English and didn't really get the message correct. This, of course, is a resource-intensive way to go about trying to come up with prevention messages for small businesses in Vietnam. Thank you.
Do you have any questions for Helen? Yes.
Yes. Sure. Well, the reason we try and use, we divided through by 2,000 to get 2,000 work hours to get the actual full-time employee equivalent, the rate for that, because that's our denominator. We're trying to normalize all our denominators to be the same. So if a person is hurt in agriculture, right, and they're only working in a part-time job, right, their risk of injury may be quite higher than a person working, like their exposure time is much less than a person working a lot of hours, right? So basically you have to normalize by the number of work hours worked to get sort of standardized rates to compare between industries. Does that answer your question? Okay, let's go back. Oops. So basically, you can have instance rates per people, right? Or you can have instance rates per work hour worked. And basically, oftentimes, especially in this type of situation, if we took the number of injuries to agriculture workers and divided it by the number of people, we would get a much lower rate of injury in the agriculture workers, okay? Because the denominator would be something like 3,961 compared to the denominator in manufacturing is 2,739. But really, the denominator should be smaller for agriculture, the 1,004, compared to manufacturing is much larger. So this, yeah, I don't think I probably explained that well.
Another question. Sanjeev.
Who did we work for in Vietnam? We worked with the people from the National Institute for Occupational and Environmental Health. It's like the NIOSH equivalent of the U.S. Okay. Especially not anything about work, you know, in their hospital logs. And the National Institute is underneath the Ministry of Health, right? And so, what's that? The Ministry of Labor, Invalids and Social Affairs are the people trying to collect data on work-related injuries. And they have standards that look just like U.S. standards, but they're not able to collect the data. They can't regulate it. We have a problem in the U.S. So few inspectors, it's impossible to actually, you know, get an accurate accounting of the work-related injuries in Vietnam.
I'm sorry,
Because when we first went to visit Vietnam, we did want to do a collaborative study, and we looked at all these. We took tours of the workplaces, and we're interested in injury, and there were so many hazards in the workplaces. We couldn't figure out how could we best help these factories other than by understanding more about surveillance and about what's happening in the country. So we wanted to know, well, where are your injuries occurring? What can we do research on to help prevent injuries in this country? We didn't have a clue because there were so many hazards in every industry. The National Institute, you mean? Well, that's the way they're doing it now, though. I think they need to learn how to collect the data better. What they're collecting now, they're getting very much of an undercount of injuries and work-related injuries. So I think doing this pilot study helped them learn better methods, maybe, for collecting the data.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. I think we've run out of time, but if the presenters wouldn't mind staying behind for a couple minutes, I think there are a couple more questions. So if we could give one more round of applause to everyone who presented.